180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
This is high blood pressure. Get back on your plan. Go to loweryourhbp.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Kevin, thinking about retirement?
I've thought about it, but it's too late for me to save.
With Avo, a retirement coach, it's never too late.
Where can I learn more?
Visit aceyourretirement.org today.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry, I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, Radio.com Sports Station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by the Wayback Inn.
What's your name, son?
Danny Bernstein. I'm from Deerfield, Illinois.
Dan Bernstein on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's enough. Don't care. Not interested.
Insightful sports talk for your workday from one of Chicago's most respected radio professionals.
Professional what?
Professional
Dan Bernstein.
Sucking the joy out of sports.
Middays on The Score.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Good morning. We've got a lot to do today. It is a Bulls post last dance Monday, as we do here on Sports Radio 670 from 9 a.m. to noon. Will Perdue is sitting alongside me today. We are going to talk to Sam Smith. He is the author of The Jordan Rules, Bulls.com writer. He's going to join us at 11. Lou Kanellis at 11:20 will share his thoughts as well. But Will's the man who was on your screen, among others, last night. So we are going to be very last dance intensive as we have learned more in retrospect, in hindsight, about your Chicago Bulls. Also talk some Bears as well. All kinds of surprises are in the offing as well. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR The Score. You email us at Bernstein at 670thescore.com. You should go to the Tech Zone, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. 67011 is how you text. And when you do, we reply, message, and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein670. Will is at Will_Perdue32. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app, stream The Score on your mobile devices, interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Jay Zawoski is the executive producer today. The man on the board in the place of the executioner is Sean Anderson. So, first takeaways. Well, that was a there was a lot packed in to those 2 hours last night, including you telling some of your stories as well. But things got real without a doubt. Things got more real in a way in this narrative that they hadn't to this point.
They really did, and I thought that, you know, the first four were entertaining, but I thought these were the episodes that kind of did the deep dive as far as what everybody wants to know about the Bulls, but also about Michael Jordan. Listen, the dude still pushes the needle. People want to know about Michael Jordan. I probably got more texts last night about some of the topics that were discussed that we'll hit on today than I have any other night, because it's just people are fascinated by this documentary. I mean, with no live sports and the two words Michael Jordan, everybody is watching, everybody is listening. I've been amazed by, you know, just the outreach of doing interviews and just how much people want to know about this. I mean, it is taken over the sports world, and I appreciate you allowing me to come on during these Mondays after the last dance. But as you talked about, there was so much hard-hitting stuff. You know, I sit here and I take notes so we can talk about it on the show and to make sure we hit on these topics. And last night was one of those ones that I sat there afterwards and was kind of like taken back regarding the amount of information, because as we all know, I mean, with Michael controls the content, he had to have the last say. And he allowed a lot of this to be out there. And the first thing I thought about was, is Michael was the first guy. The first guy, if you had a problem with your shoes, to be like, shouldn't wear that cheap crap if you weren't wearing Nike. And to think about how that all started. He wanted to wear Adidas. He didn't want Nike. And his mom made him take the meeting. Does he call his mother every single day and thank her for being his mother?
Well, it was him lacing his own shoes.
Which he did all the time.
That was really interesting to me because that's such a tedious thing. And I know for a basketball player, your shoes and your feet are everything. It's like hockey players with their skates. But not everybody wants to open that box and lace the shoes. You think somebody could do that for him. You know, the other thing that was amazing was when they showed him wearing the first Jordans in the garden when he said, my feet are bleeding, you know, my feet are hurting. I am shocked. Because you know what would happen today is what happens all the time in sports, where the outside of your shoe is just a mock-up that the inside would be the perfectly good, modern, high-tech, whatever is the best for your foot, and they would just put the old shell on it. He was actually wearing the old shoes. That blew my mind.
Well, and that right there is, and we'll get into it deeper, that's loyalty for Michael Jordan. That's the competitiveness. That's what the garden, and people always ask about, what's so special about the garden? That's what the garden means to players that play there. It's iconic. It's Madison Square Garden. That's what New York is about. That's where the stars are on the floor, but they're also in the stands. And he wanted to prove a point. Hey, this could be my last game. Most likely it's my last game. So I'm going to go back, and I wore the Jordan once. And I did an interview with Scott Burrell last night afterwards, and he verified that. He said, Michael took his shoes off at halftime, and they were bloody. They saw the blood. They said, what the hell? But yet, as he said in the documentary, I couldn't put on a different pair. That would have looked bad on the brand. And he talked about how much shoes have improved since then. I mean, that just tells you how, archaic, I guess. You know, people were still working on designing shoes because, remember, that was the first time that they used the air sole in a basketball shoe. And Michael Jordan was the guy. He is the brand. And they talked about just how painful it was. And he even mentioned in the post-game interview about how much his feet were hurting. But yet, he always was out to prove a point. And he obviously proved that night, proved a point as well.
You said that your phone was blowing up with texts. What was the tenor of the outreach? What did people want to know from you sort of off the record or personally last night?
Well, it was just about the aspect of, you know, did Michael have a gambling problem? Did he bet on everything? Was it really that bad? Did he really lose over $100,000 to the one guy in North Carolina? You know, you got the other guy that wrote the book. Did he really owe that guy $1 million? You know, people, they've watched the games. But, like, what makes talk shows and this show so popular is people want the inside. They want to know what's really going on behind closed doors. What can I learn that I haven't seen on television? You know, what makes this guy tick? And I've said it from day one. It's just, yes, the guy loved to gamble. I mean, he used to, when we flew commercial, and I think this isn't a news story, but he would come up to all of us, be like, all right, guys, first bag out, $5 a man. So we're like, okay, we're in. So as you get off the plane, remember, we used to have to get our own bags. We were flying commercial when I first joined the league in the 88-89 season. Let's just say we fly to Detroit to play the Pistons. We fly into the Detroit airport. We walk from the gate to the baggage carousel. The light starts blinking. MJ's like, all right, $5 a man, first bag out. And whosever bag was the first bag out, everybody had to give that guy his $5. Now, what you did was you took your bag, you put it on the SkyCap cart, and then once you had your bag, you walked to the bus, and then the SkyCap would take it from there and then put it underneath the bus. But it wasn't like we walked straight to the bus. That's how exposed Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and those guys were to the general public back then. They were just traveling just like everybody else. And at times, let's not forget, whoever sat in first class was seniority, not on points per game. And there were times where Michael was back in the back with us, riding in coach.
Now, when you did money on the... We did that, too, in the CBA. It's $1 for us, dollar on the bags. But apparently, if the story went as later on, Michael found a way of paying off. He would know who the baggage workers were in some places. And as the story went, it was not a level playing field. That money, whether it was $100 on the bags or whatever it became, he had a guy on the inside that would, in exchange for whatever it was, an autograph or a jersey or something, would put his bag first. Is that true?
Now, I never heard that, but I wouldn't believe it for a second, because I've always told the story about how his security guards, as you've seen in all these documentaries, they had to get there early at the old stadium and at the United Center, right? And they used to have their meeting and talk about the plans for that night and who's going to be there, who else do we have to guard. But remember, they used to always do a dry run with all the events, especially mm-hmm. the ones that went on in the electronics board. And Michael got the inside on who would win the Dunkin' Donuts race every game. He would have inside information. But he would also try to throw you off the scent like you were a detective and occasionally allow somebody else to pick first. He would always go, okay, hey, let's do this. I got a cup of coffee. And he would probably win 90% of the time. But then occasionally he'd be like, all right, man, I'll let you pick first. And if you happen to pick right, you may get the winner. But even sometimes it just seems like things always fell into his lap, per se. But mm-hmm. when you walk around with a chip on your shoulder like that, you love to compete and love to win so much, you're going to do whatever you have to do to try to control the outcome. On the basketball floor, he could control the outcome most of the time because of his skill level. In other areas, he would have to try to find a way to help fudge the numbers. But to him, that was okay.
You know, I think talking about gambling, too, needs to be contextualized, because in the intervening time from then until now, we have had generally, societally, a normalization of gambling, where it's okay now in a way that it wasn't. It was considered then. Gambling was still a vice. Gambling was something that was looked down upon as a personal flaw, etc. You know, and it's funny, you know, full disclosure, I'm saying this, and I've got a DraftKings read coming up the moment we go to break right here, that with DraftKings and FanDuel and everything that we're doing as intricately and specifically as sports radio is now involved in the business of gaming and gambling, it's all okay. But you can speak to this, that David Stern was terrified of Las Vegas, terrified of gambling, of that whole world, that whole world that had been walled off and had been seen as a dark and seamy underworld. And everything that we saw last night about Jordan and gambling, people now, you know, a 15-year-old kid now would be like, yeah, what's the big deal? So what? What's wrong with that? Why is that so bad? But it was considered unseemly and dangerous and sinful in a way that now it's not. So it's like people will look at it now and say, well, why was that a big deal? Who cares how many thousands of dollars he was betting on the golf course? Who cares? That's his money. It wasn't necessarily illegal to do some of these things. You know, I don't know if you're looking at his taxes and what he's disclosing or not, but what was scandalous then may not seem so scandalous now.
Well, times have changed. And let's also be honest. I mean, people sometimes lie to themselves about what gambling really means. Because, you know, I spend part of my time in Louisville. This past weekend should have been the Kentucky Derby. I go to the Oaks. I go to the Derby. And you'll go there, and it's there's a lot of families there. And they're giving their kid, their 6- and 7-year-old kid, okay, what horse do you want me to bet on for you? But when you ask them about it, they're like, oh, no, this isn't gambling. This is just having a little fun, putting a little money down. Well, what's the difference between that and taking your 6- or 7-year-old and walking up to the craps table and go, okay, we're going to have a little fun here, but this isn't gambling? I think it's just to the individuals, you know, listen, we all understand it can be addictive. And when Michael said, I can stop at any time as far as the money goes, I believe that to a certain extent. But
he sure sounded like an addict, didn't he? I mean, the way they edited that so carefully to really indict him. And he sounded like the classic, oh, I don't have to do this. I can live without it. And with the sunglasses on and the Ahmad Rashad interview and all of those denials, they did not make Michael look all that good despite whatever editorial control he and his production company may have.
But that was also Michael being in a position where, okay, I'm going to let people inside Pandora's box. Because remember what he also said throughout, there was that one, he's like, listen, this is not a lifestyle you should envy. And quite honestly, you shouldn't. People don't understand how difficult it was to be Michael Jordan. You know, I remember my rookie year when we came in, they had that Bulls yearbook, and you have to answer the questions. What's your favorite food? And, you know, what's your favorite movie? And if you could be someone for a day, who would it be? And I was like, well, let me see if I can score a few points. I put down Michael Jordan. So the book comes out, and it's your rookie year, and says, if you could be somebody for a day, who would you be? Michael Jordan. After my rookie year, being on the road with him and seeing what he had to deal with and how closed his life had to be, I in no way, shape, or form ever would want to be him. And I know people are like, well, I'll take his money. Well, guess what comes with the money? Guess what comes with the talent? Being Michael Jordan. Remember they showed that piece for him laying on the couch? That was his day. Like when we went to New York, me and Pax and Bill Cartwright, and we could go out to dinner. Yeah, we got bothered, but we'd sign and walk at the same time, and we would ask people to respect our privacy while we're having dinner. But Michael couldn't even do that. When we would do team functions, we'd have to go to Michael's room. Michael's room was big enough where the whole team could go, and we have meals, and his room usually had a ping pong table in it or a pool table. But he couldn't just go out. He couldn't do things. I mean, he went to shoot arounds. He came back. He sat in the room all day. We came in the night before. He was in the room. I mean, he had to have his meals ordered for him. And everybody knows about his trainer, Tim Grover. Tim Grover, when we got in, Tim Grover would go down to the kitchen and talk about a special meal that Michael needs. He needs to have it delivered. His food needs to be cooked a certain way. But he didn't have the luxury of, like, you saw the piece at the end where they were in Orlando towards the end of the regular season and Phil didn't have practice. Did you see how many guys were around him just for him to play golf? I belong to the same golf course he belongs to in Chicago, and when he was the hottest thing, it looked like a caravan coming down the golf course. There were literally four guys playing golf in a foursome, but there were 14 golf carts for his security so people wouldn't bother him. When him and Tiger played golf together, they had helicopters over the top filming him playing golf, you know, from 1,000 feet up. I mean, the dude had no privacy, and that's why I was amazed, and I knew about it when I played with him, that he had those personalized license plates, because then he just might as well put a spotlight on his car. Everybody knew who it was anyways, but then with the personalized license plate, anybody that didn't know then knew.
Well, he changed a lot. I mean, remember, because Jordan the Kid was flashy, and he had the gold chains. I mean, he was sort of that, you know, the flashy Southern rookie, and the guys in the league made fun of him. He had a Soul Glow endorsement that first year. It was like, I forgot what hair gel it was, but it was one of these like, it was a magazine ad where he had some goo and made his hair all shiny, whatever, you know, it was, and people don't realize that. And every one of his endorsements was a smashing success either. Cause he was picking up a lot of opportunities and cashing a lot of checks for a while, and people don't remember the things that didn't work. There was a watch that he had. It was like Time Jordan or something like that. I mean, it wasn't exactly like...
Well, he also had his own fragrance, his own cologne.
Yep. And that sold okay. I thought it smelled like garbage, but I guess enough people liked it. I was not a fan of that. I'm not a big cologne guy, but I was not a fan of that one. But you know what? After a brief timeout, we need to talk about shoes. We need to talk about what... the role that he played and what I think some people started to understand about now ubiquitous and multi-billion dollar sneaker culture and shoe company culture. Hell, I heard Mullion Haugh talking to Mark Eversley, the new Bulls general manager, who was a young Nike salesman, and how this connected to him. We're going to bring that back a little bit later on in the show, around 10:40 or so. But all of these intertwining threads that get back to the power of shoe companies and what they mean and what happened. And, you know, while we go to break, we'll think about your history. You and I are right around the same age, but your history as a player of, like, when the shoes started to matter. Like, when was it sixth grade? Was it junior high? You know, when maybe your first team had a deal with a company? Because I think we need to discuss this further about what Jordan himself meant to how we relate to our shoes. It sounds like it's a big deal, and it is. So we'll share some personal insight into some of that. That is coming up next. Will Perdue is sitting in today. Every Monday after The Last Dance airs, he is right here with me, Dan Bernstein, 9 a.m. to noon, live and local on The Score.
On April 20th, The Score marked the fifth anniversary of the passing of Score teammate and Bears legend Doug Buffone. Tonight at 6, listen in as The Score remembers Doug Buffone with a very special one-hour tribute.
He had a hug. He had a handshake. I don't care who you were or what it was. And that was Doug.
Five, 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 Big Doug.
Sit back and listen as the Score staff relives their favorite Doug stories.
They take one of the lockers and they pull it out, and there is a dead rat behind the locker. And Butkus was convinced it was Doug's feet.
Doug, after saying that, to say, and if you use that term one more time, I'm going to come around this desk and I'm going to break your neck.
And I said, uh-oh, there's something on my chest. I look up, ah! I scream. I thought it was a rat. It was a raccoon.
The Score's special one-hour tribute to Doug Buffone. Tonight at 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's sports station.
Color couldn't hit a bull in the ass with a banjo.
This is Boomer Esiason with the Radio.com Sports Minute. Sponsored by Fisher Investments, helping people achieve comfortable retirement for over 40 years. Now, earlier I discussed Jameis Winston and Andy Dalton taking one-year backup gigs, while Super Bowl veterans Joe Flacco and Cam Newton remain unsigned. Continuing our Monday morning quarterback roundup, Green Bay's future Hall of Famer Aaron Rodgers isn't relocating, but that doesn't mean he's a happy camper these days. After the Packers drafted heir apparent Jordan Love, while not arming A-Rod with any new receiving weapons. Let's be real, Love is a project, not a serious short-term competitor to Rodgers. If anything, the media are making the whole situation worse. Ultimately, Aaron will let his play do the talking. Meantime, in Foxborough, it appears the Patriots' starting job is Jarrett Stidham's to lose. His college coach, Gus Malzahn, declared on ESPN that the moment won't be too big for him. I'm Boomer Esiason.
Truck drivers keep America moving. But do you know what keeps truck drivers moving? 5-Hour Energy, of course. It gives them the alert, energized feeling they need to get the job done, hour after hour, mile after mile. So the next time you meet a truck driver, give him or her a great big thank you. And the next time you need a quick, effective energy boost, grab a 5-Hour Energy. 5-Hour Energy, for the long haul. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.
This Saturday, UFC 249 is poised to be action-packed. The fighters are eager to step into the octagon. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of the octagon with a special sign-up offer up to $1,000. Think you know who's going to win the big fight this weekend? Put your money where your mouth is. Place a bet on the winner of the fight with DraftKings Sportsbook. If you haven't tried it yet, betting on MMA is easy. You can pick one fighter per matchup. You can parlay fights within the card. You can even bet on which round the fight will end and how it will end. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than with DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook is safe and secure, giving you the option to deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code CHICAGO when you sign up, and for a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook has a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Don't forget, enter the code CHICAGO and get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000 only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Indiana only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Some of us need to rely on our cars more than ever to safely get to work, the grocery store, and appointments. Whether you need a car now or plan to buy someday soon, Cars.com has your match and all the latest deals. Shop from home. Cars.com now features nearly 2 million cars ready for home delivery. Set up virtual appointments with local dealers to tour your favorites. Save the car you want. Click to buy when you're ready. Yep, car shop from your couch. With confidence on Cars.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. Right now, the average American is spending over 3 hours a day on the internet searching for news and updates on COVID-19. Let's use some of that time for something positive. Take 5 minutes today, visit TheHomeLoanExpert.com, and let's see how much money we can save you with a refinance. Lower your mortgage payment, skip a few months, and start saving now with our five-minute loan approval only available at TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 1326241.
No matter what type of business you're in, having a strong business banking partnership can help your bottom line. I'm Jeff Boundy, president of Cornerstone National Bank and Trust Company. We strongly believe that trust, service, and relationship are the cornerstone of a successful business banking partnership. Customers like Chuck Kuhn of GL Precision Tube in Aurora agree.
Thanks, Jeff. GL Precision Tube prides itself on providing custom steel tubing in a wide range of shapes and sizes. Being flexible and responsive to the needs of our clients is crucial when competing with domestic and overseas manufacturers. My team at Cornerstone customized a suite of financial products to meet the unique needs of our growing company. With a line of credit, equipment financing, and cash management products, Cornerstone has helped me to maintain our company's competitive edge. That is why, since 2017, Cornerstone National Bank is the bank where we belong.
Thanks, Chuck. Please visit cornerstonenb.com, or I invite you to give me a call at 847-654-3000 to explore a business banking partnership. That's 847-654-3000.
Cornerstone National Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
Right now, we're all safer at home. But should you need a new vehicle, Hyundai has options to shop online, and a participating dealer can deliver it right to you. Plus, you'll make no payments for 4 months. To find out more, go to buyhyundai.com.
Get 0% APR for up to 84 months on the 2020 Tucson or Elantra. Now with complimentary maintenance. Visit buyhyundai.com or your local Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealer online today. Offer ends May 4th, 2020. Call 224-661-0068 for details.
Too much inventory and not enough space causes Suits 2020 to begin a major sale. That means a liquidation sale at Suits 2020, and prices have been reduced up to 80%. Calvin Klein marked down, Kenneth Cole reduced, Ralph Lauren prices slashed, and many other designer labels sale price to move at Suits 2020. Executive suits have been liquidation priced to $120. Now that's a sale at Suits 2020. Suits made in Italy, normally $795, on sale for $260. Slim fit suits and suits with vests have just arrived and are on sale. Sweaters on sale for $15. Beautiful silk ties have been reduced to $7. And dress pants marked down to $20. Only at Suits 2020. Hundreds of boys' suits are on sale and marked down along with boys' shirts and ties. With